There are so many people who think that I just showed up and played football and I just said, "Hey, broadcast
You're
TV,
right.
I'm here. Put me on." And they put me on. But it's not that way. There was so much growing up and I had to go through in every facet of my life that I just want people to see that, not so much for seeing and knowing me better in a lot of ways, but so much for hopefully seeing themselves at some point in my journey so that they understand that, hey, okay, it wasn't always easy for him. Oh, I felt that way before. Oh, I've been uncomfortable before. I've been rejected before. I've been applauded before. And a lot of things is like, how do you handle not just failure, but how do you handle success?
Okay, my latest guest on this Voices of the NFL collection of Just Getting Started podcast. We've already had Al Michaels on and Joe Buck, and still to come is Jim Nantz and this man's colleague from Fox as well, and Aaron Andrews. And this man is somebody who I met way back in the day when he was a mere New York football giant, trying for a sack record eventually and a trajectory of a Hall of Fame career path. And now he joins me as a Pro Football Hall of Famer, but also a Good Morning America co-anchor, a men's clothier. Let me see what else I've got here. I've also got, hold on a second, an NFL on Fox analyst, an occasional game show host, and one of the top television producers in sports, and of course, also documentaries. His show in season two with Spring Hill Entertainment, More Than an Athlete, is on ESPN Plus. He is Michael Strahan. How are you, Stray?
I'm good, man. How are you? I am no Rich Eisen.
Did
but
I get
I'm
that
okay.
all right? Did I get that done? Okay.
Yeah. You got it all down, man.
That's all the time
it.
I have. That's all the time I have. Thanks for joining me, Michael. You know,
it's been a pleasure. Hey, but you know, I love what you're doing here, though, and the names that you have, the guy, people that you have, ladies and gentlemen that you have coming on is real. I'm honored to be considered to be
oh
in
gosh well
that
you're
group,
a
so
voice of the NFL and obviously having a Hall of Fame playing career, and there are so many, and obviously you host an aptly named show as well as produce it, More Than an Athlete, on ESPN Plus, because you are the model. I mean, you are what so many players perhaps are going through right now in the NFL, wondering, can they do what you're doing, what you have done since hanging him up? And that's part of the reason why I also wanted to have you on here, Stray, is not only because I consider you a friend, but I what you've done is beyond, I mean, impressive isn't even the word. So how did it start? Like, literally, like, what did it start with you getting an idea, like, I can talk for a living because you were in the New York market? I mean, like, literally, what, where did this all begin where you started to piece this together?
I think it's part of that. I think being in the New York market, like, I am not blind to the fact of where I played football definitely helped me. You know, I could have had this career somewhere else and it probably wouldn't have been as big of a deal, or I wouldn't have the same opportunities that I had. But being in New York and always being asked to do interviews and be on shows, and I said yes, because not because I looked at it as a career. I just looked at it as I can have fun. Like, I'm talking to people. It's about sports. It's about whatever. How hard could that be? And then as I played and I kept doing more of it, I started to understand more about the media. I understood more how it worked. I understood more how to, as much as the media uses you after a game or during the week to get quotes and all these things, use your power to better yourself with them. So I did little things. I would restrict my media access when I was a player, to be honest with you. I would just talk twice a week. And that way I knew whenever I did say something, you were going to use it. It was important. I also knew that by being in New York and like doing all these different things, that I went on Best Damn Sports Show, period. I started doing, I did a Super Bowl for ABC. I wasn't even really getting paid for these things, but it was like, it's fun. I never looked at it as a career post-football until my last 2 years in the league, when I realized, you know, it's coming to an end. There's something else that I could be doing, and some opportunities started coming my way. And I worked for every network as a player. So I decided that I wanted to go to Fox, because Fox was probably the loosest. It was the more fun, in a lot of ways, less football, more entertainment. And that was important to me, because I looked at myself, and as you said, I'm more than an athlete. I just want to feel like I'm somewhere where I can actually talk sports, but also have personality doing it. And Fox gave me that opportunity. So yeah, it began organically, just doing interviews and having fun in New York. The next thing you know, I got a job, and I realized 2 years before my career ended that I could make a living doing it.
And, you know, make a living, job, and work. You just use those words, because when somebody does what you're doing and you make it look easy, because you are having fun, right? You're having fun, you're being yourself, which is one of the goals in this industry, in this business, is to is to do that. And it's not every day where you do get to do that, but it's a job. It's work, man. Yeah. It is.
It work, is.
You know, it is an absolute slog sometimes to do all this. The times that you do get up, that you do, I mean, Good Morning America is great, but that alarm clock goes off and you've just done a Sunday on Fox and your phone calls, I'm sure your phone is ringing the minute you get off the set with the other things that I did to start all this. So why, Stray? Why?
You know why? Because I can do it. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. You're right. It is a job, and I have to do some things sometimes I don't want to do. Yeah. When I don't want to do it, I have to wake up every day. I have to basically ask permission to take a vacation because I'm working for some big corporate companies, and that's what people don't see. But the payoff at the end of it is more than worth it, because the payoff to me has been the fact of being able to do something that I never thought I could do, that a lot of other people probably never thought I could do, and that we, in a lot of ways, we haven't seen done before by somebody who came off of the football field or whatever, the athletic field. So that is a driver in itself of me to try to see how far I can push it, how far I can go, because I realize for me, the further I go, it's kind of like opened up the door for more athletes to go any further, even further than what was allotted to us before. So that's really my motivating factor. And I like the discipline of it. I like the, you know, football was scheduled. It was routined. For a while, I would just do Fox and have 7 months off, and I'm sitting around. And then I got to hang out with Jay Glazer all the time. I mean, geez, who wants to do that? So I had to find something else to do. And I was always interested in business, Rich. You know, I came to football late as a senior in high school. So I never looked at it as football was the only thing that I could do. And I think because of that mindset, it's allowed me to like not handicap myself, or not feel like I put myself in such a box that this is it and that's all. I'm more like, okay, football was the start. As the box is wide open, no end, no sides on the box, just go. And fill the box. Instead of having the box tell you what you can put in it, you put as much as you can into that box. And I do it because I love it, man. It's so much fun. I don't have a bad job, and I really mean that. I do not have a job that I go to in the morning, even GMA early, and think, I don't want to be here. I get there, and I am energized. I'm excited because I know I'm going to learn something. I know every day is different. News changes. And I'm sitting next to professionals who've done this forever, and I'm learning from them too. And I'm nervous. Fox, I don't get so nervous anymore. Pyramid, I don't get nervous. GMA, I get nervous.
Really? Why? What do you think?
It's so far out of the wheelhouse. It's news, and it's about information, and it's about being well-read. It's about really knowing your stuff. It's about conveying what the audience wants, asking the question the audience wants to ask. Setting the tone in which is appropriate for each story that you deliver, and not making it about yourself. And the football player, it's all about you. Oh, what do you think about this? And you go, well, I think that. You're always being asked questions. The hardest thing for guys, and I tell them this all the time, if you want to get into this business, especially outside of sports, you have to learn how to ask questions. You have to learn how to be curious. You have to really be interested in other people, because we're just so used to everybody coming to us, and we just kind of go into relaxed mode and answer questions.
Yeah. And you also have to listen too when you ask the question and you don't know the answer to it. Like, for instance, a couple of minutes ago, you said that you do things sometimes that you don't want to do. This podcast is not one of them, right, Stray? Like this?
Absolutely not. Oh, no, you know what? Every time you call, I'm excited because I'm like, man, he really is my friend. I love this guy.
Yeah.
Well, so, I feel the same absolutely.
Way. I feel the same way. But it is a craft. There's no doubt about it. It's asking questions and listening to it and listening to the answers as
well. But you got to work at it too, as well as you know. And and I remember watching so many athletes, at least in my opinion, when they were retiring and get a job on TV, they would go there and say, because I'm me, that's good enough. Because they know my name, that's good enough.
Right.
That's not good enough. And I've realized in broadcasting and business especially, your name gets you in the room, but your actions and your knowledge and your abilities are what will keep you in the room. And so I've always made sure if I step into a room and if it's something I really want to do, I'm going in there, of course, with a name and a face and a gap in my teeth, you know, but I'm going to make sure that you know that I belong in that room and I know what the hell I'm talking about and what I'm doing. And I think that is what guys need to realize. If anyone ever wants to go into this business, your name only carries you so far. Your skills and your actions and your work ethic is what really helps.
What was your big break? Now, I know Fox, obviously NFL Fox and ABC giving you a shot on a Super Bowl and all that stuff, but the branching out, what was that big moment or a meeting or somebody or a piece of advice or anything like that that happened to you that really kickstarted everything, do you think?
I think the kickstart to everything was Live with Kelly and Michael. Absolutely. And that took it to another level. Fox NFL Sunday was definitely a level outside of being a player because I don't have a helmet on, you know, and so many people watch football. It's ridiculous the numbers of people who watch football. But that show put me in a different in front of a different set of eyeballs. It put me in front of mothers and daughters and more women. And I think that was just a very important turning point for me. To get in front of that audience, and my life has like just ever since then. And that's why I'm forever grateful for the show for choosing me, because when I first went on, I had no shot of getting that job. They didn't know anything about me, and I didn't know anything about how morning television and daytime television like that worked. I got that job out of ignorance, out of literally saying, I'm never going to get the job, so go have fun. Figure it out as you go along, and it's an opportunity to try something different and see where it goes. But it ended up being that job that definitely changed the trajectory of my career, put me in a different stratosphere, if you want to use that word.
So what was your first show when I guess you were auditioning for that? I mean, because Regis's Chair was easily, I mean, that's honestly, that's kind of like up there with the Jeopardy gig. Right now, that's been kind of like that chair on that morning show or that audience. It was aspirational to say the least. There's no question about that. So,
big.
What was your first audition like for that? Or you knew that you were trying out, or you know what was that?
No. You know what? I went on that show after we won the Super Bowl, and I wasn't a guest. Now I know how the show works. So a guest, they go through the monologue, then they come up and they move the chair around, and then they introduce you after the commercial break, and you come out and you sit. That's like a guest. I was like a walkout. It was during their opening. They said, "Well, we got this football player guy." So I literally walk out from the side. They had a little chair, a little stool they put next to Kelly and Regis and Kelly. And I sit there and they do this interview, and I almost feel like Eli wasn't available. So they said, well, we got to get somebody. They went to the Super Bowl. They're in New York. We are New York. So we got to have somebody from the Giants. And so I sit there and Regis said, what are you going to do now after the Super Bowl if you want to retire? And I said, well, if I retire, I'm on a show right now. Maybe Kelly, Michael and Kelly, if you want to retire, just messing around. After the show, we did tell Gelman, the producer, that if Regis goes on vacation, he's somebody to fill in. I would love to fill in. And I swear it was like a year later or so. He's on vacation and I get a call. Okay, come in. I went in. The show went like that. That hour was bam, gone.
Boom.
Man, it was scary. But it was so exhilarating. Like, I loved it. Like the live audience, the energy of it, the don't be afraid to make a mistake, because that's part of live TV. And the hardest thing for most guys to do is be yourself on TV. And I don't have a problem with that. I have no problem with looking silly or, I'm very comfortable with who I am, man. So to me, that show fit like a glove. And after that, I hosted that show, guest hosted it 20 times. Never did I necessarily think until the last five times that, okay, I legitimately have a shot at this job. The first 15, I went in and did it in hopes. After about 10, I started hoping because I loved it so much. But I knew there was no guarantee because my name was probably the least likely name to get picked to do it because you had guys who'd grown up in this business who were more known for that. And why would they give it to me? Because I'm the exact opposite of Regis in so many ways. But I also think that's why when I did join the show was successful because I was the exact opposite of Regis and exact opposite of Kelly in a lot of ways. And we literally, from day one, just had a chemistry that it was natural. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. And the rest is like history.
Yeah, the rest is history. Really... But the way it ended, I think a lot of people thought, you know, oh, well, we just had the natural chemistry on the show that if I went back today, I'm pretty sure we could pick it up and put on a great show. Just something about she watching her and understanding how she operated on that show and understanding the space that she needed on that show and what the role was. It was so comfortable, I think, for. So that was the best learning experience I've ever had.
Oh, you know, and then, yeah, it is. I'll pay you the compliment here, Stray. And again, I honestly thought this the other day, and this is the truth. Mm-hmm. When I saw the video of you being surprised on Good Morning America with the fact that your number is going to be retired, by the way, congratulations on
that. Thank
you. It's well-deserved.
Thank you.
That it was on Good Morning America where I'm used to seeing you now. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm used to seeing you now. And Eli popped out of that box, which is hilarious. And your reaction to it was hilarious. I mean, because that's what TV is all about, is just natural stuff and your natural reaction, which you're now a natural at. But I honestly thought for a split second, oh, that's right, he was a football player. Literally, that's what I thought. Yeah. You know, and I should know, clearly, that you were a football player. But it's kind of like part of your past and not your current day, which is what it's all about.
You know, it's crazy you say that. I'll be honest with you, say that, and I forget. Rich, I swear to you, I forget. I don't feel like I've had that whole 15 years of it, too. Like, it's not like I was in the league for 3 years, it's 5 years, and I came out, you know, got a career. 15 freaking years, a lifetime in football, and I forget. Because so much has happened since then, and the eyeball that are on me is so different now. That, you know, I'm in my man cave, and this is the only place where I, outside of the gym at my house, other than that, I don't have sports paraphernalia anywhere. It's like I have it here in my man cave, and I come here to remind myself that at one point I was great at something, I guess.
Yes.
But it is funny because a lot of people, you have a generation of kids, they have no idea who I am. They know me as the TV guy or the game show guy or the news guy. They have no idea that I was actually an athlete, and it kind of freaked me out because I'm looking at them going, you don't know about football? Like, you know, could have saved myself a lot of wear and tear on the body, man, if I had just wrapped it up a little bit earlier and started this TV thing. But it is amazing. I've been very fortunate to have this career, and I've had great people who've helped me, great examples like yourself. I mean, we go way back, and I remember when you first went to the NFL Network and just like watching you help build the network. And now understanding when building shows and doing these things, how hard it is and how much pressure it is when you're that guy and that's what you are. So watching you do what you do and how you did it from one to the next, that helps guys like me because watching how easy you are makes me go, okay, what can I pick up from Rich that can help me? And I think that's what has helped me more is watching guys who are great at what they do and trying to figure out what part of their greatness I can add to my style and hopefully try to even keep up on in any level to them. And you're one of those guys.
Very kind to say that, Stray. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
What's Brady like as a producing partner? What's he like?
Tom's great, man. You know what I love about Tom? I appreciate about Tom? He doesn't want to do it if it's not the best. Absolutely has to be the best quality, the best story. He's uncompromising and being the best. And even after their first win, you know, the week one, that great game Thursday night, he's like, hey, I text him. I said, great game. I'm going to come back. And his thing is, yep, got to get better. I'm like, I said, well, you know, the quest for, you know, getting better in life on and off the field never ends. You know, I'm trying to sound philosophical because the guy just basically told me, thank you, but no thank you. That's not good enough. And he's just always on a quest to be the best. And that's how you, as a producing partner and as a business partner, just want to be the best in every way.
It's stupid, man, that he's trying for eight. It's really dumb when you think about it. I mean, like, you know, when you're talking about when NFL Network first started in 03, it was like four was the number, you know? Four was the number when it was about Montana and your NFL on Fox cohort, Bradshaw. That's the number. He's going to double it this year. And that's insane.
Double. It's insane, though. You know what? And if he's going to double it, it's doubling the wins. Okay. The guy's been in 10. He's been in 10 Super Bowls. Right. And I just look and go, I can't imagine winning seven. But God, I can't imagine being in 10.
But you got him, though. You got him, though, Stray, right?
Yeah. Thank goodness, because had I not, I mean, I may have had to go back and play one more year to see if we could actually pull it off again. So thank you for letting me retire. But that was, man, I can't imagine he deserves all the accolades he gets. He deserves to be called the GOAT, even though he doesn't like it. He deserves to still be looking as great and throwing as well as he does because he puts in every ounce of work to make sure that he can play like that. And he's serious about this diet. He's serious about, you know, viability and about the TB12 method. He lives by what he says. And the hardest thing for me to understand truly is that here the guy, Rich, I knew at 36, 15 years, we won that Super Bowl. And even before that, I was like, I'm tired, man. I'm tired of pep talks. I'm tired of, you know, coming out of this tunnel doesn't give me the same exhilaration. And of course the Super Bowl did, but I'm like, you know how much work it is to get to that point? To have the mentality to do it for 22 years the same way is unbelievable to me. I'm more amazed at that in a lot of ways than I am by 10 Super Bowls and going for number eight. Just the mentality to be able to compete and want to compete at that level. Day in and day out. He's amazing.
In wrapping this up, clearly, again, as we've just discussed, I mean, you got your menswear, you've got, you know, the pyramid, you've got GMA, you've got Fox, you've got so many different things. I mean, honestly, there's only 24 hours in a day. Why do the show you're doing with ESPN Plus with Spring Hill Entertainment? I know, I guess we've kind of covered the ground a little bit here about you being more than an athlete, but why this project? Michael,
because first of all, I love the fact of working with other athletes, so and helping other guys and helping each other, right? So this team up with Spring Hill, the team up with LeBron, team up with Maverick was a big deal because I think, you know, just teaming up and showing the athletes working together to create things themselves is really important. I think a lot of people look, Rich, like you said, oh, he played football. And you knew that, but there are so many people who think that I just showed up and played football and I just said, hey, broadcast TV, right. I'm here, put me on, and they put me on. Yeah, but it's not that way. There was so much growing up and I had to go through in every facet of my life that I just want people to see that, not so much for seeing and knowing me better in a lot of ways, but so much for hopefully seeing themselves at some point in my journey so that they understand that, hey, okay, it wasn't always easy for him. Oh, I felt that way before. Oh, I've been uncomfortable before. I've been rejected before. I've been applauded before. And a lot of things is like, how do you handle not just failure, but how do you handle success? Both are equally important. How do you treat people? How do you conduct your day-to-day life personally and professionally? And I just want people to see that no matter what, keep pushing. If you have a dream, don't let anybody stop you from it. Surround yourself with people who want to build you up, not people who want to tear you down. And most of all, you will doubt yourself more than anyone else will ever doubt you. And you have to figure out how to convince yourself that you can be as great as you want to be, more so than expecting someone else to build you up. That's why it's called, as Cat Williams said, self-esteem.
The way I've been ending all these interviews is asking all these broadcasters, what's the best piece of advice they've gotten in their career? So I'll ask that of you, if it's in the broadcasting world, football world, life world, anything. What's the best piece of advice that you've gotten, Michael Strahan?
Man, Robin Roberts gave me the best piece of advice when it comes to, like I said, GMA is the toughest thing I've ever done. Robin Roberts at the Oscars on the red carpet. I'm working for Live at that time. And I am scared to death, Rich. This is Hollywood. This is big stars, black tie. The Oscars, man. I watched that. I'm not supposed to be on that red carpet. Scared. Can't even use the word that I wanted to say when I said scared, right? And I see Robin. And I see Robin scared shitless. There we go. And I see Robin across the way. And I wave. I go over to see her. And she looks at me and she goes, "How you feeling?" I go, "Robin, I'm scared. She goes, "Hey, you got this. You got this. Don't worry. I came from sports too. You belong here." Completely changed my life with that one little thing. I saw Robin Roberts and said, and knowing that she came from where I came from, and knowing how I didn't even recognize that because she's so great at what she does now. And then to say you belong here meant the world to me. And that's why I'd run through a wall for her any day of the freaking week. And so, you know, that was the best piece of advice I've gotten. And then I've created a little saying that I tell myself when it comes to life and making decisions. Report the news. Don't be the news.
That's a good piece of advice. Report the news.
Don't be the news. News.
I like that.
There you go.
Hey, Stray, you're the best. Congrats on everything. Let's stay in touch. Anything you ever need from me, you know, I'm just a phone call away. You know,
my brother, I love you, right, man. Seriously, you. Anything you need, you know, I'm always here, no matter what. So
I know, I appreciate that. I'll text you all the time, and that you have no idea how upset people were that they thought you got rid of your gap tooth.
No,
you have no idea.
Yes,
man.
I do, Rich.
You have no.
You know
idea.
Why? Because social media lets you know, man. And I tell you what. I did it. I had so many people, man. I felt bad to come out and say I didn't do it because I did have a lot of people who were like, you know what? You do you. I'm so proud of you. And I always wanted to do it. Now you've given me strength to do it. Like, I felt it inspired a lot of people. I felt really bad. But then you had all those people who were like, I can't believe you. You let down the Gap Nation. And I'm like, since when the hell is there a Gap Nation? I never got a card for that. You know, who started? Who, you know, I'm not a charter member. So it was like so many people were so pissed that for those people, I was glad I didn't do it. But for the people who were sincere and nice, I apologize. And I literally had people for months when I would smile would be like, oh, you didn't fix it. Like, obviously you didn't see the second video.
That's right. It was an April Fool's gag. And the number of times I've accused Urlacher of leaving me on the battlefield because he got his hair. You know, and I've accused Deion Sanders, Prime. I tell Prime, you've left me behind in the brother. You used to be part of the brotherhood. You're not anymore. And Deion, who refers to himself as the comeback player of the year, he keeps telling me, he told me that my wife, you know, Susie, that she really deep down, she wants me to get the hair. Deion said it was like, we're double dutching and Susie's got one end of the rope and she's kind of looking at me saying, come on in here, come on, you know, and she's just by herself. That's Deion saying she's double dutching by herself. And
have you thought about it?
So I have on occasion. I have. I really have. But I don't know. I kind of think to myself, like, I'm not going to be true to myself if I do it. I go back and forth, I always feel like I'd get people saying you left me behind, you know, but then there's other just you.
But be you, make yourself happy. You look good either way, man. I mean,
Thank you, Stray. I appreciate it. I'm a fine one.
Yeah.
Everyone should watch More Than an Athlete second season on ESPN Plus and then Strahan everywhere else. You're the best. Thank you,
brother. Thank you, man. Have a great one.
It's Michael Strahan right here on Just Getting Started. The one and only Michael Strahan, and I want to stress a couple things here. First of all, the fact that Robin Roberts pulls him aside and acts in a first-class manner should surprise no one. I mean, I remember meeting Robin Roberts for the first time. I was 26 at ESPN, and, you know, I showed up at ESPN, and it was Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann doing the 11 o'clock Eastern show, the big show as it was known. And it was Craig Kilborn and fill in the blank at 2:30 in the morning. It was the late night, the feel-good edition of SportsCenter. And then there was the early edition of SportsCenter, the 6 o'clock Eastern edition of SportsCenter, which was kind of like the nightly news version of SportsCenter. And it was Bob Lee, nicknamed the General for General Lee, and Charlie Steiner and Robin Roberts. And, you know, that was the grouping of people that I was, you know, as a 26-year-old, goofing around late at night doing the SportsCenter world fun stuff. I was genuinely concerned if I was offending them or not being taken seriously by them, if I was potentially viewed by them as defraying their part, their journalistic part of the brand. It's not like they didn't have fun. They would have fun. I mean, some of the most famous moments you should Google right now is Charlie Steiner cracking up during his reads about Carl Lewis doing the national anthem, or just look up Charlie Steiner and Tonya Harding and him recounting her breakup with Jeff Galluli, her, I think, husband. And just Google that. They had fun, but not like late at night. And she could not have been nicer and more accommodating and more welcoming and just chill and cool. So that's part of the story about Strahan doesn't surprise me. But the fact that he's talking about how nervous he was about not being in a lane, in his lane, is, I think, very important to stress here. The fact that he has that sort of self-awareness is what, in my mind, makes him highly successful, one of the many reasons, along with a drive and a sense of professionalism that needs to be stressed here. Because the number of former athletes that I have worked with, NFL players, obviously, in particular, over the last 18 years, who, in many ways, their careers end, in their mid to late 30s. I mean, Stray mentioned he was 36. Brady's the outlier at 44 or whenever the heck he is going to retire. But, you know, many NFL players, after Hall of Fame careers, need to find something else to do in their mid to late 30s or even earlier than that. Marshall Faulk was 32 when he retired and eventually joined NFL Network and was excellent at it and still is excellent at it. He's a regular Wednesday guest on my Rich Eisen show. Football season coverage goes on right now, I should mention, in a cross-promotional manner. But he, Marshall, has a sense of drive, an understanding, a professionalism, an understanding about broadcast television and what makes it a good comment to say this or not that, and understand that if you are saying this, your colleague on the air will be put in that position to follow up, or you need to give that colleague space to talk. And there's a certain broadcasting sense and sensibility and having a thought in your head and how to verbalize it. It is a craft, and it takes time, and it takes work, and it takes professionalism to do. And many NFL players that I have worked with in auditions, where many times for NFL Network, I'd just be the only host. So when it was some player that was just retired, they wanted to see if that player could work on the air, that player would come in for an audition and I would sit next to them. The number of times where they thought, these players coming off the field, thought that their name and credibility as a football player would be just enough for them to get on TV, I lost track. There's a certain ability that you have on the field that needs to be translated in a manner on the air with your language and your persona that not a lot of players have. And they think it's easy to talk off the top of their head, and it's easy to take their football knowledge and make it communicable to a fan at home. And that's why so many players can't succeed coming off of the field. They can't. Also, some athletes who come off the field who don't succeed, There was a basketball player back in the day at ESPN. And the only hint I will give is this player played in the northern part of California. You can figure out from there. He was terrific as a player and also terrific in the meetings. Went on the air and he couldn't put a sentence together. It was difficult for him to make a communicable sentence of an idea that he knew as a player and he knew as a person and he knew as a colleague in the meeting, but couldn't say it on the air. And after a while, I realized the reason why he could not is because he worked blue in the meetings and he would lace his comments with curse words. And then when you get on the air, you can't do it. I'm serious. There are so many different reasons why an athlete doesn't translate successfully to television. And the fact that Strahan has done it so seamlessly, yes, it helps to have a Hall of Fame resume, although, you know, Nate Burleson's not going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but he is doing the Strahan plan. He's on CBS This Morning right now, and he's going to start branching out. You're going to see Nate everywhere if you already haven't. And yes, it helps to have a Hall of Fame resume, but it's not a requirement. And yes, it does happen to help to have a big personality, that people like hearing from you, that you have a friendly face. You have a very personable aspect. You're charming. That helps. But what sets people like Strahan apart and so many others that I've worked with, from Marshall and Michael and Kurt Warner, is a sense of professionalism. This is work. This is work. And yes, Strahan's got an ESPN Plus show and a men's clothing line and a game show and so on and so forth. And he has a team. He has a team of people who help him out and schedule him and tell him here and there. And he's probably getting the schedule in the morning. This is what you're doing today. And his phone does ring off the hook. And I'm sure people make phone calls on his behalf. But it's work. It's work. And he is willing to put it in. The work. Put the time in, the work, the professionalism, the work. It's a craft. And I think that's part of what I'm hoping you gain out of this podcast series, that the work that we're talking about, broadcast and sports broadcasting and NFL sports broadcasting, which is, you know, a golden ticket, to use a Wonka phrase, in the profession. And it is something that is a labor of love. And it is something, as Strahan said, and something that I will always say, lucky, very fortunate, certainly in this time and day and age where the NFL, everything to do with the NFL is a saga. It's a drama. It lights up a phone line on a daily show. It gets a remote clicking to it or a click on a link. But it's work. And Strahan's putting that time in. And you could tell. I just wanted to stress that and reiterate it as we wrap up this show about, yes, a Hall of Fame athlete who made something of himself from a small school going to a big city and utilizing the platform that the big city afforded him in his Super Bowl season, along with his Hall of Fame trajectory in his playing career. But he made that opportunity work. And one opportunity that came, he wasn't satisfied with just the one opportunity. There was another one that interested him, and another one, and another one. And he says yes to those, and he says no to others. And he's got people who help him, but he knows every single time he says yes, it requires more work. And the fact that he knows that going in, and that it's not just, I'm Michael Strahan, I've got a big personality, it's going to work. He knows, as he said, once you get in the room, you use your face to get in the room and your resume to get in the room and your recognizability to get in the room, but it's what you do in the room after that that keeps you there. And that'll wrap it up for this edition of Just Getting Started. Keep on checking it out right here on the Cumulus Podcast Network. There were so many other great episodes before this one and some more to come. Cultivating more guests for you here on this Voices of the NFL edition of Just Getting Started.